Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, along with co-host Michael Bowen. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you, Sam.
Today, we got some special guests in the house. We got Bridget and Nate Carwile from Livingston Academy Way. Bridget, actually, I work with you at Putnam County Schools. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
So we're going to have fun with this one today. So we're going to talk a little bit about the focus of the show really this morning is talking about Nate. Nate, you have some exciting news. I'm going to let you tell it, but you have some exciting news, and we're going to talk about the process of high school sports and what it meant to you along the way. But what's your exciting news for the folks out there here?
I recently signed my national letter of intent to Maryville College to play football.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Michael's been in that situation before too, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And, you know, Bridget, the advantage of having you here, and I really have wanted to do this for a little while because I've actually been involved with your process through a company called CSA Prep Star, which has been really cool for me to sit back and watch how this has taken place. And we're going to talk about the process, not necessarily about Prep Star, but the process that you went through, because I think it's important for young athletes out there to understand, Nate, and you're going to be able to kind of educate them today on what your process has been from start to finish. Now, we all know you play for an excellent high school head football coach in Bruce Lamb, and we all know Bruce. I actually coached with Bruce at Cobble High School, and Michael played for him at Cobble High School. So we'll start right there with you're coming into your freshman year at Livingston Academy, and here's this big dude, Bruce Lamb, that you don't know. What were your first thoughts there?
Well, like every other middle schooler, you know, or growing up playing football, you always want to play for your high school team. So, I mean, the first day of workouts was very intimidating. You walk in there and you're just a little bitty freshman, and, you know, you got 18-year-old seniors that have played there for 4 years that are outweigh you by 60 pounds and are almost a foot taller than you. So it's a little intimidating at first.
And I bet I can probably name one of those along that time was probably Brock McCoy.
No, he was before me.
He was a little before. So you got to kind of come to games and see
him. Yes, I got to come to games and watch him play.
Pretty successful football at that time with Brock leading the helmet at Livingston Academy.
Yes, very.
So you come into your freshman year. Your first look at high school sports was, of course, probably in the weight room, I would say.
Yep.
And you probably started that before you actually even started school in ninth grade year. Yeah. That's the way most high schools tend to do that. So when you walk into that room and you got all these older kids in there and you're a freshman, you know, how is your mindset when you walk into that room?
Well, my mindset was, you know, I got to prove to everybody that I belong here. I got to work hard. I got to lift a lot of weight. I got to run as fast as I can. You know, just work hard.
Awesome. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. So you get into that situation and you spend a little bit of time in the weight room. I guess you're probably getting to know your coaches a little bit better, probably find out a little bit about who your position coach might be along the way. And then that turns into summer. So you spend a little bit of time in the weight room, and then now you're going into your first summer of high school athletics. So tell us how that worked.
I mean, you're working out constantly. The worst part is the running, waking up early in the morning. But getting to know the coaches, that was pretty fun because each coach has a different personality. And you got to learn that, and then in turn, they learn who you are. So, I mean, summer was fun, but it got more fun when we got closer to playing games.
So I can imagine going into summer and coming from middle school. Middle school is a lot of work itself, but probably no comparison to what the time that you put in high school.
No. Middle school, of course, we didn't really get the lift weight. It was more body work stuff during the summer. But in high school, probably around the first week in June, we hit the weights hard. And I had never done that before, you know, working out and running back to back. So it was a lot, but I genuinely enjoyed it.
We're talking to Nate Carwile, recently signed with Maryville College from Livingston Academy and played linebacker and fullback for Livingston Academy. So, Nate, you go into your freshman year, and a lot of freshmen don't really get the opportunity to play. So you walk in there, you go through summer, everything's going pretty good. You're probably getting stronger, you're getting faster, you're getting bigger. When did you have the first thought that you might actually get to play that freshman year?
Well, I thought I'd play a lot of special teams going into it, which I did, but I didn't think I'd get a lot of playing time. But it ended up one of our middle linebackers went down, probably game six, game seven. And so I played in his spot the last game or two. So it was kind of, it was neat, but it was also a very difficult experience because I had never played in a high school game before until that time. It was different.
A learning experience right there because, you know, sometimes you say next man up, you got to be ready, especially in football. That kind of held true for you. But so I think the learning experience out there for the young players is you definitely do have to be prepared.
Yes. High school is totally different from middle school and down below that. Everybody's bigger, faster, and stronger than you. And you have to continually work every day.
So, Nate, let's back up just a little bit. Did you play any other sports growing up when you were a younger kid? And has it always been football as your favorite, or what was your passion then?
I played basketball, and I played basketball through high school too. But I was kind of the kid. My favorite sport was whatever was in season.
Mm-hmm.
So I was continually rotating between football and basketball each year.
So I'm going to flip over to Bridget for a second, really reintroduce you here. You played basketball at Livingston Academy and was a very successful high school basketball player, actually ended up signing with Austin Peay. So when we talk about the work ethic that's involved with Nate and his career, were you able to coach him up along the way and kind of educate him to that process?
Yes, in some ways. I am not a very tall person, and a lot of people used to always say, so you're on a scholarship for softball, you know, and so Nathan unfortunately took after me. His height is, you know, not the his best quality. He's a little short and stocky, but just his drive, I mean, and that's something you can't coach or teach someone, and his drive has always been so driven to work hard, and I think me telling him always, you know, you're small, you've got to prove yourself. You know, dynamite comes in small packages. I'm sure he's heard that many times over the years.
So, Bridget, how did you find that balance in kind of raising him and, you know, being a former athlete yourself and college athlete, you know, giving him advice from a sports standpoint, but then also being a mom?
It's hard. It's hard to balance it because you want them to be their best always, but they have to figure it out too. So I wanted him to want to play. They've got to want it to be able to even perform. So he's been pretty easy. I will say that it's not been a hard thing. He's always driven to work out, to run, to whether it was basketball, shooting. He didn't tell you he was a golf player too in middle school, but he was a really good golf player. I mean, and he worked at everything he did just to get better and to prove himself to the others.
Nate, I'm going to give you the opportunity here before we move on to some more conversation. Along the way, there's had to been some people that are very focal to your success, especially as you come up through high school. Anybody that sticks out, you know, that it could be a coach, a teacher in the classroom. I know your parents, but this is your opportunity to thank some folks.
There's tons of coaches I can name, but, I mean, Outlaws going through, my coaches changed every year, but the main person there was probably the head, Curtis Hayes and Coach Looper. And throughout middle school, it was Coach Mosley and my dad and just the numerous of coaches that have helped me through the way. Then you got to high school, and Coach Lamb, he's a great coach, and all of his assistants, Coach Hauser, Coach Livingston, Coach Eldridge, all of them, they've really helped me grow as a football player and a young man throughout my career.
So I really want to highlight this side of it, and today we're talking to Nate Carwile, Bridget Carwile, about the process of going through high school and then signing into college. But academics nowadays are very, very important, and I know there's a side of you beyond athletics that's very important.
Yes, academics is... My parents have always taught me that academics comes far more important than athletics because you can't you know, as a recruiting standpoint, you can't get into a school and get recruited if you don't have good academics. So academics has always been a very important aspect of my life through going throughout school.
So I think it's a great point, you know, Nate. I think a lot of folks out there probably don't realize how much responsibility, how responsible you have to be as a student athlete who wants to get to the next level from just, you know, kind of managing your day, making sure your academics are in order, making sure you're doing all the extras from a training standpoint. Obviously, just, you know, being a good student, being a good person. Talk a little bit about the discipline that takes.
It takes a lot because you have to, you know, have to go home and do homework and then work out after that, and then that takes up most of your afternoon. So, I mean, going back to the recruiting standpoint of it, it shows a college coach that you can balance it with good academics.
You got to be raised right, too, right?
Yes.
Bridget, I'm sure that was a big part of the equation for you guys is, you know, being able to manage keeping them on task but also keeping them motivated.
Well, unfortunately, I'm an educator to him, but he was a good student, and he does study hard, and his grades reflect that. And I'm glad. I think he sees that now, especially going through that recruiting process. Especially with some of those private schools, he may have not gotten in had he not had an ACT score like he did, or a high GPA like he did.
So, okay, we're going to continue the conversation. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Good morning and welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, along with Michael Bowen. We got Nate Carlisle and Bridget Carlisle this morning talking to us about his process of getting involved in sports in high school and then that leading into a college opportunity.
So, Nate, we'll stay with high school a little longer here. So, we got kind of to your freshman year. Talk about how you progressed up through each year through high school, you know, how you improved and you know, some of the training you embarked on to get there.
Yeah, so after my freshman year, I kind of knew what it was like. So that was the big thing about freshman year. So then after my freshman year and sophomore year, just continually consistent in the weight room and running and, you know, putting on muscle. And I'd say my biggest jump was probably from my sophomore to junior year. I put on a lot of muscle, and that helped me a lot in my football aspect of it. And so it's just getting in the field of things after your freshman year and then being consistent in the weight room and running.
You know, in high school football, I think it's a really special time, and one of the awesome things about it is just the friendships you make and your teammates and the time you get to spend with them. You really never forget those people your whole life. I can tell you that. I think Sam would tell you that. You know, I still run around with some of the same people that, you know, played high school football with. And so, you know, you want to talk about the camaraderie and, you know, I'm sure you had some other guys who worked out with you and helped you through this process.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you always have your close friends. And, you know, football brought me more close friends than I thought I'd ever have right now. You know, they make it easier to go through workouts, especially go through running during the summer, all those early mornings and late nights. You know, they make you want to come back more. They make it 10 times easier than it would be by yourself. So I think I'll have some close friends here when I'm older and in the future because of football.
There's no doubt. And, you know, influences in your life, you know, especially with where you're going, You know, I know you had some good folks to look up to. Bruce Lamb played college football. Danny McCoy played college football, and he was there for you the whole time. And then your mom, of course. Is there anybody else we're leaving out?
Coach McCoy, yeah. I forgot to mention Coach McCoy earlier. He was a good one. But my parents are a big deal. My grandparents are even a big influence. You know, they, of course, they'd always give me tips. They always tell me I played good even when I didn't. But and they weren't afraid to tell you how I did. But I mean, I had a lot of influences that I probably can't think off the top of my head right now.
Your grandpa at signing day, I saw him there. He came up and talked to me and said, you know, he was there for your very first tackle your freshman year. That's how I knew you got to start your freshman year.
Yeah.
All the way through your very last tackle at the last game, and he tells me that the first game he attended, you made the first tackle.
I did.
And the game, the last game that he attended, you made the very last tackle.
Yeah.
That was awesome to hear him. You know, he was very excited about that and just really, really excited to be a part of the process and involved in your process and just ecstatic for you that day that you ended up signing. But, you know, high school football is unique in the way that Michael mentioned, and you probably don't even know it yet. Revert a little bit back to you, Bridget, and your days of playing with not only in high school, where Livingston Academy is very successful in girls basketball, and that led you into the opportunity at Austin Peay.
That's correct. And the friendships that he is going to make, even in college. My college roommate and I are still – we still communicate. We still talk a lot, and you know, it's just nice. It's a breath of fresh air, really, knowing that he's gonna have that just like I did.
Today, we're talking to Nate Carwile, along with his mother, Bridget Carwile, former basketball player, Austin Peay. So I want to touch back on that a little bit. The recruiting process for you, Bridget, was pretty involved, and you ended up going to Austin Peay. You probably had a lot of opportunities. Why Austin Peay?
Austin Peay was a Division I school. They were in the OVC. I knew I would get to play here at home at Tech, a couple, you know, some. And then I had several NAIA schools, some Division II schools. But Austin Peay offered me 5 years and the academics there. I just fell in love with the campus, fell in love with the girls, just felt like I fit in, and they wanted me. That was the big thing. That's where I was wanted. That's where I was needed. And I knew going in that I could make a difference.
The process probably, you know, then when you were coming up and now the process of recruiting is a little bit different. We're going to get into that in next segment. But one thing I do want to talk about with both of you along the way, because it'd be very interesting for people to hear about this, is dealing with injury. I know both of you had some pretty devastating injuries along the way. And Nate, we'll talk about you. I believe it was more in your shoulder as a linebacker in high school football. That's a pretty serious injury.
Yes. It was my sophomore year. I had a stinger, and I probably shouldn't have went back in the game as quick as I did. But I ended up getting another one and stretching out my brachial plexus nerve. And so it was a pretty big deal. I didn't get to play the rest of the season. I think I played 4 games my sophomore year, and that was my first year I've started. So it was pretty heartbreaking that year, but you know, it gives you motivation and time.
So let's dive into that. So, you know, something you love was taken away. I mean, how much did that affect you, and how much did it make football mean to you?
It hurt, but it made me realize that I needed football. Like, it made me realize how much I love the game, sitting on the sidelines watching my brothers play out there. It's difficult. I can't put it in words. Only people that have had an injury in sports realize the difficulty it is to sit there and watch your team play without you.
Yeah, and you hear from, you know, all the time, you don't really know how much you love something until you don't have it anymore.
Yes.
So that had to be a devastating moment in your career, but luckily, you got to the right folks and were able to get that corrected and got back on the field in your junior year.
Yeah, I went and ended up, it wasn't much. I just had to strengthen that shoulder a lot, and that ultimately led to me putting on a lot of muscle. And the doctor told me if I put on a lot of muscle, I'd be good to go, better than new. So that's what I did. I constantly did power cleans and shoulder workouts that the rest of that football season and even into basketball season, I was continuing working out. And so that you know, it propels me to do even better my junior year.
Yeah, and I guess the lesson there, Michael, you know, these young athletes, you need to know the difference between injury and pain. Pain's one thing, but I think you probably realize now that you knew you were injured and you probably shouldn't have went back in the game.
Yes, I wanted to go back in the game, but the trainer looked at me and he knew I was hurting and he took my helmet away from me. And, I mean, he told me he knew when I went down it was not just a hurt, it was a pain, it was an injury.
Gotcha.
So staying with high school, this question's for both of you. I want to know what your fondest memory is of playing in high school, or one of your fondest memories. And then, Bridget, to you, what was your fondest memory watching him?
My fondest memory would probably be my junior year playing Cookeville. You know, we're not supposed to beat them, but we ended up beating them by a touchdown on late seconds. Just playing that game with that field just packed full of people. You know, people were standing all around the field. We come in as an underdog, you know, nobody expects us to win, and we pull it off. So it was a crazy feeling. It's like I drove through town that night, and it's like almost we lit up the town of Lewis.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
I don't like it, I mean, because I'm a cool guy.
I would say one of my fondest memories, you know, his senior year was so emotional for me as his mother, knowing that this is it, and I want him to savor every moment and minute out there on the field. But going back to his junior year, against Upperman, and it was the play of the game. We had to stop them, and Nathan was the one that got the stop and stuck the defense. I mean, we stuffed them, and so he was the one that did that. So that was one of my fondest memories, and we win the game, and we went on. You know, he was his team was special his junior year. They were part of history that year. They went 10-0, and it was a fun. It's been a very fun ride as a mother to watch everything.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Nate and Bridget Carwile. Good morning and welcome back. We're continuing our conversation with Nate and Bridget Carwile, along with co-host Michael Bowen. And you said something before the break there that resonated with me, Nate, and you know, Bruce Lamb, you know, he played at Cookeville High School. We played at Tennessee Tech. We played together. I think he left Cookeville and went to Sparta and coached there for a while at Wyatt County, and then came to Livingston. And of course, married Donna, and, you know, has had a pretty good career, really good career up there. But after I got out of coaching, I got to come and visit. You know, Brock was on our program also previous, and I got to come in the locker room and be a part of that, Michael. And one of the times they were actually playing Cookeville, and it was the pregame prep talk, and I was in there, and it was like, you know, the kids from Cookeville were terrible, and they're rich boys, and, you know, they have all this stuff, and we don't have anything here. And I was sitting back there going, golly, this is how they get them so pumped up. They just really dog us Cookeville kids.
Well, was that Bruce doing that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a Cookeville kid. And, I mean, I felt
Cookeville's own.
Yeah, Cookeville's own. I felt that big. So, Bob, I'm going to tell you what, it works. It works.
It does work.
Yeah, so that was something that was brought to mind. And, you know, football is such a unique sport, Nate. You have to play at such a high level of intensity all the time. And, you know, sometimes if you don't, you risk the, you know, possibly getting hurt if you're not just all out all the time. So, you know, how do you continue every game, every week, every practice to get yourself up for the emotional highs that are needed?
I mean, it's kind of cliche, but you got to stay level-headed. You know, you can't get too up, you can't get too down. You know, there's times where you can get up, but you got to reel it back in and stay level-headed. Going back to, you know, you can't take a play off. You know, you drop your head at the last second, you risk an injury. You hit somebody at the wrong angle, you risk an injury. Everything you do has to be precise. And, you just got to take every play one by one.
And that's in your position as a linebacker, I think that's interesting because you really have to balance, you know, kind of being the quarterback of the defense while maintaining that intensity. So that's got to be tough.
It is. But, you know, you have teammates around you that help you out. But you got to know what you're doing. You got to know what everybody else is doing, and you know, you got to try and guess what the offense is doing. But I mean, it's tough, but after a while, I mean, you love doing it.
Okay, so let's dive on into recruiting and the process that you went through. You know, you get to your senior year. You probably knew that you wanted to play before your senior year. But you get to your senior year and you decide, hey, that's what I want to do. So, Bridget, at some point along the way, he probably had to come to you and say, Mom, you know, this is really what I want to do.
He did. And we've had many talks. You know, college athletics is completely different than high school athletics. You know, they own you, basically, and I shouldn't say it that way, but, I mean, you are going there to perform for them.
It's a job.
It is a job, and that's what I wanted him to understand going in to the process. You know, you really have to commit to this. If this is what you want to do, we will support you 100%, and we will help you in any way that we can. And you know, I just wanted him to understand that part of it. And, you know, he's still not there yet. We'll see if he really understands it, you know, in the next year or two. But I wanted him to understand that up front. And he doesn't care. He knows that it's going to be a job. He loves the game, and he wants to play the game that he loves.
We're talking to Nathan and Bridget Carwile from Livingston Academy fame, now signed with Maryville College. And, Nate, so you make that decision. You decide, you know, you've already given everything you can the first 3 years, but you decide that this is something that you want to do. When did it click that that's what you wanted?
I'm going to say summer of my senior year. I was like, I'm not ready to give this up yet. It kind of hit home that this was my last season. You know, I don't have any more seasons after this. They tell you as a freshman you have 40 games guaranteed, and you're like, well, 40 games is a lot. And then Lamb told us we had 10 games left, and I was like, holy cow, this is it. And I just wasn't ready to give it up yet.
So let's talk about, you know, the recruiting process here a little bit. So how did that all get started for you?
Well, I went and told Mom that I wanted to do this, and she got me in touch with Sam. And he has a program called CSA, and they've really helped me. But, you know, just recruiting, it was different. I wasn't expecting it this way, but it was just different.
So, the college kids that we've had in here and on this radio show have said the same thing. It's all resonated that, you know, once you get on the radar, you know, once you get on the recruiting board, things start changing. It's almost a competition to the colleges out there to see who's recruiting who's talking to who, and you experience that. So going from a situation to where you didn't really have a lot going on, people didn't know you were interested, and then all of a sudden you start getting these contacts. How was that?
It was pretty exciting to me because, I mean, you wake up each morning and you have a text from coaches all over the country, emails, even get mail. Mom showed me her letters from back in the day, but they didn't really send handwritten letters anymore. It's usually edits and emails saying how much they want you. And going back to the list, you can kind of tell where you are on their board. You know, some coaches, you could tell they wanted you, and some coaches, you could just tell you were just a part of a system. And, you know, you really wanted to – it felt good to be wanted places.
So, Bridget, you got to see that from a unique perspective as someone who, you know, probably has a box of letters in the closet, that you showed him, to going through the process with him and how it's changed. So how has it changed?
Well, it's changed a whole lot. Internet has changed a whole lot from 20-something years ago. But COVID has also changed the recruiting mm-hmm. process this year. And unfortunately, those that are in college right now are getting an extra year. So the one thing we kept hearing from the colleges was, you know, we just don't know how many of our kids are going to come back because they have that opportunity to come back. So that was it just kind of put a damper on some of the places and some of the conversations when we want him, but we don't know that we have a spot for him. And so, you know, it just kind of went from there. But back to your original question, things have changed a lot. You know, it's crazy. The platform from CSA, you can actually see who is interested. They look at his profile. He can immediately send an email, and that's the conversation that starts. The text, the text messaging starts back and forth. And it's really neat because they really call and talk to him. I remember college coaches calling my house and talking to my parents.
Mm.
You know, they talked to me some, but they talked to my parents. So I just think it's really neat that they make it more personal.
Yeah, and, you know, while we're on the subject, not only do they do that, but, you know, they got to do their homework too. You know, most of the college coaches are going to call a teacher. They're definitely going to look at your Facebook, if you don't have a Facebook, but Twitter, Instagram. They're going to check those things out. They want to see what type of person that they're going to be investing in.
I mean, yeah. I've my social media accounts, I've always been told that, you know, everything you like, everything you do, it's out there. It's on a cloud somewhere, even though you may think you delete it, it's not gone. But I mean, going through social media and have that in the back of your mind really helps, and it even hit home more when I was filling out these recruiting, you know, questionnaires. You had to write down your Twitter handle, your Instagram handle, if you had a Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. But you know,
your young people don't. What are the kids using nowadays?
You know, you, just every social media you had to write it down. And, you know, it, you write it down for a purpose so they can go look at it and make sure who they're getting.
So you're looking for your first, you know, your first offer when you got involved in this process. Who was your first offer?
It was a college out of Kansas, Sterling College. You know, I talked to the coach, not a lot, actually. I talked to him one Sunday afternoon. You know, he was just asking me, you know, blank, like, how my day was, you know, what school looked like, all that plain talk. And then I think it was a Tuesday. He sent me an email and it said official offer. And I was like, what in the world is this? I had no idea what it was. And once I realized what it was, I ran in there to Mom and we both looked at it, confused, because we'd never seen one before. And we were like, oh my gosh, it's an offer. Yeah, it was exciting.
That was about the middle, I guess really first half of your senior season at L.A. And, you know, from that point on, I think you ended up with eight offers, if I'm not mistaken. So why did you decide with Maryville College?
Plain and simple, the coaches really, really reached out to me. You know, the head coach called me. You know, that usually doesn't happen. I mean, a bunch of the colleges, they've reached out, but Maryville really set themselves apart, you know, recruiting me, telling me how much they wanted me. I had two or three coaches texting me every other day, guaranteeing me that Maryville's the right choice. And when I went on a visit, you know, it felt like home. I felt like I'd play there more, feel like I blended in with their system. And, you know, Maryville's has a deep tradition of football.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a great school academically to set you up for the rest of your life, and a beautiful campus also. So you got to be excited about that. So what are you expecting at the next level, and what are you doing this summer to prepare?
Good question.
I'm hoping to go in there and compete for some playing time. I'm hoping to go in there and make a name for myself freshman year. Hopefully that'll set me up, myself up later at Maryville. And right now I'm just working out, running. I work out 5-6 days a week. I run 4 or 5, get myself in shape, and then hopefully they'll send me a little workout thing I'll have to do, conditioning drills and whatnot for this summer. So I'm pretty excited.
It's important to note, and probably the last thing we got time for, Bridget, you know, pharmacy is what you would like to do in your future, and I think that really fit in with Maryville College. Explain the end result of that, Bridget.
Yeah, so I think another thing that he forgot the academics there that I'll be sure and put in here. The one thing that set Maryville apart is definitely the academic side. Yes, he wants to do pharmacy. He's been doing some work-based learning through Livingston Academy at one of the local pharmacies, and it's been a wonderful experience for him. And he really, when we ask about the pharmacy program at Maryville, you know, most small colleges like that, private colleges, have just a pre-pharmacy program. But they have a unique situation there where they have a bridge program with UT Knoxville Pharmacy. And he will go in with a degree, with the degree major of a biopharmaceutical science.
Wow.
So he will go 3 years to Maryville on campus. And they have 100% placement rate at UT Pharmacy. So, and I know that doesn't guarantee anything. We'll see how all this goes and plays out. But his fourth year at Maryville, he can live on campus, he can play football, but it would be his first year of pharmacy school in Knoxville, which is about 15 minutes away.
Wow.
And so that first year of pharmacy school counts as his fourth year and his degree year for the biopharmaceutical science degree.
That's awesome. Well, Nate, we just want to congratulate you and thank you guys both for coming on the show today. This time has gone by very quickly, but I think you've educated a lot of folks to your process and how it's worked for you. So thanks for that, and appreciate you guys being on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.